It's now my pleasure to introduce to you Brother Nielsen. Brother Roland Nielsen currently serves as the Director of Facilities Planning and Construction here at BYU-Idaho. Brother Nielsen was born in Rexburg and raised in Idaho Falls. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in architecture from Idaho State University. Brother Nielsen came to BYU-Idaho in 1998 as the campus architect. Prior to coming to BYU-Idaho, Brother Nielsen worked in private practice and in the building department for the city of Idaho Falls and at the Idaho National Laboratory. Brother Nielsen has served the church in many capacities, including as a missionary in the Uruguay-Paraguay mission, as a counselor in the bishopric and Ellerscorn presidency, as a teacher in many of the organizations of the church. He currently serves as the assistant to the high priest group leader in his ward. Brother Nielsen and his wife Carol, their parents have 5 children, and they currently have 4 grandchildren, and 2 are scheduled to arrive in the spring.
This has been an amazing experience. I'm so grateful to be here to address you on this beautiful spring day. The invitation to be here has been a great blessing to me because I've had an opportunity to study and to pray about this topic, and I've enjoyed a rich set of spiritual experiences in the process. Today I want to cover 2 topics. First, the plans for the Man Wearing Center and the new auditorium, which will satisfy some curiosity. Second, the vision, as I understand it, for both buildings. In our world, we don't often equate construction with a spiritual event, but the Lord does. We can reference Noah and the Ark, Moses and the tabernacle of the congregation, the temples of Israel, the Jaredite barges, the Nephi and Nephi ship, the Kirtland temple, the Nauvoo temple, the development of the smaller temples under the direction of President Hinckley, and the buildings on the campus of BYU-Idaho are spiritual events. Over the last 2 years, I have conducted several interviews with The Scroll and the iNews and others to describe the Man Wearing Center addition and remodel and the new auditorium. I never know how many read the articles and understand the scope of the projects. I'm going to share with you today the plans for the buildings and some artist concepts of the interiors and the exteriors. I hope that they will be a benefit to you. The construction of the Man Wearing Center is divided into 3 phases. The first phase of the construction was the addition to the north. That was completed in 2008. The second phase is the interior remodeling of the kitchen, the food court, and the first and third floors in that same basic area of the building. And the third phase will be another addition to the north, and then a remodeling of the area that was the original bookstore. Now we'll have visual aids for you. The Man Wearing Center will be the workhorse of the campus. This is a representation of the first floor when the construction is completed in 2010. The light blue area represents the university store as it now stands. The sales floor is larger than the old space, and the internal traffic flow for students and to the item selection are great improvements. When complete, the main entrance for the bookstore will be through the corridor in phase 3 across outside of the activities area, and then also heading north towards the Smith Building. The white area represents phase 2, which is under construction now. It will be the home of the iCard offices, then various unassigned offices, meeting rooms, and classrooms. The unassigned spaces will be available for campus use through the scheduling office. Each room will be equipped with tables and chairs that can be arranged to meet the needs of a specific event. The pink area represent student service areas in the building, which will consist of the C-Store, Jolynn's, Freshens, and a bank. The C-Store will contain the items that were in Tomasito's. Jolynn's and Freshens will continue to offer the original offerings with only in expanded spaces. The bank space will be leased to a financial institution and operated independently of the university. The green area represents the new home of the activities space. There will be storefront windows in the halls to invite the students in to see what is going on. and to volunteer after they find out. The final design will accommodate the activities program as it changes to meet the needs of the students. The plan will have furniture and be flexible to meet the needs of the program as they change. The light yellow area includes unassigned meeting rooms and classrooms, a student gathering space, and practice rooms for interviews, stringed instruments, and quiet study. All of these spaces will be managed through the scheduling office. The second visual aid is the plan of the second floor. Phase two is currently underway. When complete, it will house a new food court and a gathering space for the students. This space is highlighted in blue. We are excited about this space. There will be a small stage on the north where performances may occur. The entire space will have wireless connection to the internet. Electrical outlets are around the perimeters for laptop use. There will be seating for 1,000 students, with furniture ranging from lounge type for group study to traditional dining to cafe dining. And the ceiling height will range from 10 feet to 27 feet. With the views, through the windows, you'll be able to stand in the center of the room, look to the north, to the mountains, to the south, to the Taylor Building without interruption. The west ballrooms, represented in white, will be unchanged. The area in pink is the office and classroom suite for the dance program. Specific areas there include two dance studios, costume shop, storage, and offices. The area in yellow represents the existing event management office suite. Light brown is used to show the kitchen and food service support areas. Next, we have the floor plan for the third floor. The specific rooms of interest here are the new special events room and the new conference room, shown in blue. Outside of those will be a large circulation area. Much of this floor will remain the same with modest facelifts. The special events room will replace the room that is currently on the first floor. Next, we have a view of the Manwaring Center looking from the northwest. Thank you. No, I don't get to see it. I'll have to take your compliment for it. Please note that there's a pedestrian bridge that connects the Manwaring Center to the library. It will leave the second floor of the Manwaring and go to the third floor of the library. Next, we have the auditorium. The auditorium, I think, is comparable to an Arabian horse. Its rugged durability is concealed with an air of grace and stature. The following plans will give you an idea of the scope of the building. This plan shows the main level seating for the auditorium. On the right are 10 basketball courts. Okay. So if the young ladies want to go out and scope out the young men, we can maybe give you a little bit of a hint where to go. In this plan, we see that the seating is arrayed in a fan shape, which allows the largest number of people to be close to the speaker. It also provides a direct view from the speaker so that you and you won't have to turn your head 45 degrees to see the speaker. It will be a face-on view. There are also support rooms on the upper left-hand corner, including the green room for guests and the dressing room and other mechanical and storage. The chairs in this area will be theater style without cup holders, which means that there will be no more planks. It breaks your heart, I can see. Somebody's up there tearing. Yeah. There'll be no more red seats. Oh, she's crying over here. And for the custodians, they won't have to set up every week. Okay. The platform will not be set up as a performance stage, as we have in the Snow Theater. Uses for the auditorium will be spiritual in nature. Devotionals, graduation, inaugurations, CES firesides, and choir performances. The court space will be striped for basketball and volleyball, but there will be a variety of other sports that can be played in that space. The entrances are on this building are noted on the plans. Next, we have the drawing of the mezzanine level and the elevated track around the basketball courts. The track will have four lanes and require 5.5 laps per mile. There's also a space in the upper left-hand corner where the audiovisual production department will have their offices and production area. The entry at this level is on the northeast corner, or on the northeast side. The last plan shows the balcony. Sorry, I left that one out, I guess. It shows the balcony. All of the seating will be comfortable, and your line of vision is not going to be interrupted by columns. You'll be able to see everything. There is a spot in the lobby with a clear and unobstructed view of the temple. Marriage proposals here will need to be scheduled. That's right. We'll need to be scheduled in advance to prevent confusion and too many couples showing up at the same time. We are going to provide a nice red velvet pillow for the young men. Next, we have a rendering of the artist's concept of the interior of the auditorium looking from the balcony toward the platform. Then we'll have a aerial view of the combined projects and some surrounding buildings to show you the scale of the structures and how they relate to the balance of the campus. Some interesting statistics for you. There are, to date, in the auditorium, 17,390 cubic yards of concrete placed. There will be 5,046 tons of steel ordered and erected. We remove 75,000 cubic yards of rock to make way for the building. There will be 4 acres of roofing, 7,000 light fixtures, 212 toilet fixtures, 60% being for the women and 40% for the men. 15,000 seats and 5 million cubic feet inside the building. These projects show the dedication of the leaders of the church to the university and education and to the members of the church. I remember the first day when Revelation started on these projects. I was sitting in this room, the Hart Auditorium, on the west side, about the center line of the basketball court. The announcements electrified the room, and the Spirit witnessed the source of and the divine nature of these changes. I knew that the revelation was from heaven through a prophet of God. And the campus has changed greatly since that announcement, and these projects have changed greatly since their inception 8 years ago. The size and complexity of the buildings, their design have changed as the needs of the students on the track system, the number of married students, and longer class periods have become clear. As the campus grew, the administration reviewed the needs of the students. The strengths and weaknesses of the facilities were also evaluated, and they continue to be evaluated. An outcome of the evaluations prompted many questions. Where do students gather? Where do they gather for devotional? When the president of the church comes, how many can sit in the Hart building? What happens at graduation for the students who cannot obtain tickets for their friends and family who want to attend. A similar analysis was conducted at the Manwaring Center for the services provided by the University Store and Food Services. The conclusion was that we needed gathering spaces. The conclusion became the goal for the buildings: provide gathering places for the students. The two buildings will provide different gathering functions. The Manwaring Center will provide social interaction. The food court will provide an informal gathering area for the students. It will be a location where people can sit to eat or gather as a group, study group, to start that big class project that isn't due till tomorrow. The possibilities will be great, and the benefits even greater for the students. We hope and pray that the food court will be noisy and crowded with you students. The auditorium will provide a place where the student body can gather in mass to be taught by the leaders of the church, the university, and the community. It will be a place where entire families of graduates can gather to celebrate. It will be a place where all can gather to witness an inauguration, convocation, devotional, or fireside. It will be a place where the Spirit of the Lord is invited to every event. Gathering has been a part of the gospel from the beginning. It is gathering that provides strength and blessings to a congregation of saints. Gathering and the reasons for gathering are documented in the scriptures and by the teachings of living prophets. In section 107, verses 53 and 56, it reads, 3 years previous to the death of Adam, he called Seth, Enos, Cain, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, and Methuselah, who were all high priests, with the residue of his posterity who were righteous, into the valley of Adam-on-Diamon, and there bestowed upon them his last blessing. And Adam stood up in the midst of the congregation, and notwithstanding he was bowed down with age, being full of the Holy Ghost, predicted whatsoever should befall his posterity unto the last generation. I am grateful for the scripture, because I also would like to take you to the book of Mosiah. Chapter 2 records King Benjamin's desire to address his people. And it came to pass that after Mosiah had done as his father had commanded him, and had made a proclamation throughout the land to the people gathered, the people gathered themselves together throughout all the land, that they might go up to the temple to hear the words of King Benjamin, which King Benjamin should speak unto them. When they assembled at the temple, they were taught by King Benjamin. In chapters 2 through 6, King Benjamin teaches wonderful and marvelous principles and revelations. The teachings include the atonement of Jesus Christ, the suffering of the wicked, how to repent and obtain forgiveness, exhortation to be steadfast, and taking upon us the name of Christ. Finally, he records the names of the people. In section 37, verse 3, it reads, "And again, a commandment I give unto the church, that it is expedient that they should assemble together at the Ohio." In this revelation, the saints were directed to gather in a central place, Ohio. Later, the saints were gathered to Missouri, Illinois, and finally Utah. This allowed the saints to be with the prophet and other leaders of the church and to be taught and strengthened. In section 110, verse 11, it reads, "After this vision closed, the heavens were again opened unto us, and Moses appeared before us and committed unto us the keys for the gathering of Israel from the four corners of the earth." Then Joseph Smith later taught, "The main object of gathering was to build unto the Lord a house whereby he could reveal unto the people the ordinances of his house and the glories of his kingdom, and teach the people the way to salvation. For there are certain ordinances and principles that, when they are taught and practiced, must be done in a place or house built for that purpose." The Rexburg Temple, then, is a result of the gathering that has resulted from the changes at the university. The dream of the university is that the Manwaring Center will be the center of hustle and bustle. Gathering the Manwaring Center will encourage social interaction. There are students in this university who were the only members of the church in their high school, their families the only members in their town. There are students here who have been shunned by family, friends, and relatives as a result of joining the church. There are students here that believe that they are the only ones in the entire university who do not come from the perfect home. There are students here today who would melt with joy if their value as a child of God was confirmed by another child of God. As we gather, we find others who share our heartaches, believed failings. We find those who have overcome and can teach the way to success. So we gather to know that we have common beliefs with many people with a variety of backgrounds. Gathering at the auditorium will allow the Spirit to fill our hearts and our souls. Students will sit at the feet of prophets and apostles to be taught of their net worth, to be given hope, strength, and knowledge, and a holy witness of the truth of the gospel. As members of the house of Israel, we have gathered to Zion where the pure in heart dwell and where the gospel in its fullness is available to all. This gathering is designed to give us a sense of belonging to something bigger than we have ever known. We can stand or sit or walk beside others who embrace the same covenants that we do. We also reach out to gather in others of the house of Israel. In our congregation, we can lean on others when we are weak. We can sustain others when they are faltering, as we have been sustained. In a place where saints have gathered, we can find the power of the gospel is a spiritual presence. I want to share some highlights about the review and the approval of the auditorium shortly after the announcement in 2000. We planned all of the construction projects that would be required based on the academic curriculum provided. The Manwaring addition and the Hart addition were scheduled to be the last of the construction projects. Time progressed, and some of the original assumptions did not meet the changing realities of the students' needs. A request was submitted to the Board of Trustees to amend the building programs. Approval was given to amend the building plans to reflect the needs of the students. The amended plans were then submitted to the Executive Board. Which consists of the First Presidency, members of the Quorum of 12, apostles, and other leaders. For consideration, three options were prepared: 8,000, 10,000, and 12,000 seat auditorium. The concept was presented and the 12,000 seat plan was approved. Later, President Hinckley called President Clark and told him that he'd been thinking about our project. Direction was given that the project should be larger and built faster. The outcome is an amazing structure that will allow the entire student body to assemble in one space and be taught by the president of the church, apostles, members of the quorums of 70s, other leaders, or campus, faculty, and staff. When we gather as a group of true believers in humility with real intent, we can be taught marvelous gospel principles, usually not by the speakers. We will feel the power of the Holy Ghost as you, with 15,000 others, gather in one location to be taught at the feet of the prophet. These occasions will provide a great spiritual uplift and strengthening to your souls. There is one other blessing. You won't have to cut class to get a good seat. There are 27 front row seats, but there are three levels of back row seats, totaling 768. So if you want a back row seat, you should be successful. There will be holy moments when we can sit in the Manwaring Center or the auditorium for the dedications. It will be a holy moment when the choirs, well rehearsed, have their natural talents boosted by the blessings from heaven and raise our spirits to heaven. Each testimony will be uttered in a holy moment. In section 29, verses 1 through 8, Jesus Christ teaches that he will gather his elect. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, the great I Am, whose arm of mercy hath atoned for your sins, who will gather his people, if even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, even as many as will hearken to my voice and humble themselves before me and call upon me in mighty prayer. As children of Israel and children of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ has invited, asked, and begged us to come to him. As he beckons us to come, he offers us earthly happiness, salvation, and eternal joy. He has promised us his Spirit when we desire it enough to repent. Jesus, the greatest of all, is greatly concerned about us as individuals. President Monson, as president of the church, is greatly concerned about us as individuals. President Clark, campus stake presidents and bishops, your home and visiting teachers are greatly concerned about you as individuals. The building will provide blessings to individuals through the presence of others. The growth of the campus exists not for the earthly attainments of the leaders, but rather out of great concern for the youth of the church. The children of Israel gather to share and grow and support and sustain each other in the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that there are some students at the university that have great need to know that they are wanted, needed, and accepted. Gathering here at the university, living the honor code, magnifying our callings, and caring for our fellow students will help us gain confidence in the Lord and Heavenly Father that we can be blessed in our efforts. Our natural talents will be magnified, not for our benefit, but for the blessing of others. Gathering gives us an eternal understanding of earthly matters. We will be participants in gathering the children of Israel from the four corners of the world. I want to share with you that I have a testimony of the divine direction of this university. The buildings that we are going to build and have built and will build are under the direction of our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father lives. He is aware of our trials and our tribulations. He is waiting for our prayers. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Book of Mormon is true, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been restored as the Church of Jesus Christ in these latter days by Joseph Smith, who was called to be a prophet of the Restoration. I bear witness to you that President Monson is a holy prophet of God, that he receives revelation, that he receives direction in all the things that, and all the items that need to be run within the church. The gospel is true. I know that you will be resurrected and that through your faithfulness, you will be the saints who continue to spread the gospel throughout the earth and prepare the earth for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I need you to know that even though I don't know you all by name, I have a great love and respect for you. You have shown determination and sacrifice as you have set other things of the world aside to come to the university. I know that you have a testimony of this university and the spirit that resides here. I am so grateful to be a part of that. And even though it's a very small part, it's a part that I enjoy. I am so grateful to be here. I bear you witness that your Father in heaven knows you and wants to help you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.